It's about acclaimed author, anti-apartheid activist and journalist Hugh Lewin, who passed away at 79 at his home in Killarney on Wednesday. And President Cyril Ramaphosa has been among those who've sent his heartfelt condolences. He described Hugh as a valiant soldier who fought fearlessly for human rights, justice and freedom. Let's bring into the conversation the director of Media Monitoring Africa, William Bird, who knew Hugh as a friend. William, good evening to you and thank you very much for your time. Sincere condolences, first of all. I mean, we have lost a respected writer, journalist, and activist.
Yeah, and a poet to boot, and a man with a wonderful, gentle sense of humor, and an all-round lovely human being. So it's a very sad day, but it stands in stark contrast to the kinds of shenanigans that are going on. As things went on, he was really, really sad about what was happening to various things in our media and the attacks on our media and how the democracy it fought so hard for was being undermined. It's ironic that in this day that we're hearing about all of these people that have clearly no principles, that this was a man who stood for principle, like so many of those in the treason trial and other events. He went to court, he stood up and said what he had done and explained why he had done what he had done. He'd been charged and found guilty of treason and, in fact, blowing up pylons, among other things.
Yes.
Sabotage. So he served his 7.5 years and then was exiled. And then he came back and wanted to make sure that he didn't just do nothing. He wanted to build our media sector and build our democracy, in addition to writing several books, including some wonderful children's books and some amazing poems.
Yes.
He carried on doing that and being a media trainer around the world. And I guess, like many of these people, you're just astonished at how they've been through such hideous things and yet they have so much humility and humanity about them. It's always just awe-inspiring.
Yes. You know, it's amazing, and you would know this, being part of the industry, that training is a problem. I mean, many, many young people coming into the industry are not given the training they require in order to grow and to excel as others have done in the past, simply because they were given that support. But today, the Institute for the Advancement of Journalism's Amina Frenzy is talking about this legacy Hugh leaves behind in terms of giving guidance and direction on that training mandate.
Yeah, and it's not just training, it's about the kind of level of mentoring and seeing these are people that did it because they were people of principle. They're not easily swayed. They were hard. They expected high standards. They didn't just take any old nonsense. They wanted to do things, and it's because they were doing them because they firmly and genuinely believed in them. And certainly that was very true of you. He was committed to things, and in fact, one of my first experiences of him, we were having a debate at the IAJ, one of the media houses had used quite despicably an advert for their program by using that famous vulture picture, and they'd used a scratch over,
yes,
a scratch card thing, and you had to scratch it away to reveal the baby.
Mm.
And it was and he'd called this meeting because he was really incensed by this dehumanizing that this image that had been used for commercial purposes. That was one of these things that was used as an example to talk about greater lessons, to sort of, make sure that we don't forget these things, that this is about people that aren't there, and it's about journalism and telling the story of those that don't. He was a great believer in that old theory of journalism being there to give comfort to the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Yes. He was a man of many talents an amalgam of the journalist as well as the creative writer. Did he speak about those 7 years he spent in prison for sabotage? Because interestingly, it was during that time that Bandit Out of Jail was created.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. And it's a wonderful read. There's some lovely drawings by one of his great friends in there. People should read it to get a sense of and remind themselves of what was going on at the time. A lot of, we're currently in this kind of revisionist history phase where, everything that seemed to come before was some kind of despicable settlement. And there was this one simple fight and things were handed down. And if you don't, you need to read our kind of immediate history to get a real sense of what it's like. And he was just one of those people. I mean, there are several others now who are, you know, astonishing at telling stories and showing, revealing the nuance and complexity of what was going on, that it wasn't simply an easy issue, and there were lots of moral issues that you have to contend with. And certainly Bandit, I think, gives a wonderful story about what happened to him and how he dealt with all of those things. And then it was followed up, of course, when he went to meet ultimately his betrayer.
Yes.
And that was his follow-up book, which was also incredibly powerful.
Yeah. Tell me this, William, when you look at the legacy of anti-apartheid fighters, I mean, there are those who've remained very much in the public domain and have been given a lot of recognition for their contribution to the struggle and building democracy. And there are those who've remained very much in the background. And I would say Hugh probably falls into that category. Did you ever worry that his legacy has been neglected because of the type of personality he was?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's largely true of many of them. You know, a lot of them always said, oh, I was just a very small cog in a much bigger set of wheels and machines and things. And they frequently underplay the role that they played and their strength and courage and their commitment to principles. So I think that's very true. And it is, you know, why it's critical that we remember those people that were there, that were the daily heroes that helped bring us democracy. And they're several hundred of them. And I guess that part of that is because they were, to a large degree, ordinary people. You know, they weren't imbued with superhuman powers or anything like that. They were ordinary people who took decisions that would change their lives and have significant impact on so many thousands of others. And it's true of so many people now as well, you know. So I think it certainly isn't only here there's several of them that are, I suspect, that we don't give sufficient credit to. You know, even someone like Andrew Mlangeni, for example, who's still very much with us.
Yes.
I'm not sure that people are entirely aware of his contributions,
true.
For example.
So true.
And that's the 76 uprisings is another sort of more recent one. It wasn't just about one person, Hector Peterson, you know, loss of life. It was about a whole series of struggle and a whole lot of other young leaders that took over, that wanted to do and achieve amazing things, and the people that ran the library and the youth centre nearby. You know, so there's so many fascinating stories that I think we need to tell, and we need to make sure we honour them. And those that are still with us, we need to make sure we capture that and respect them, I suppose.
Lovely idea on which to end that interview. Thank you very much, William Bird, for speaking to us. He's director at Media Monitoring Africa.